Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And it's the Luke and Pete Show.
Mark, I'm sort of doing a little voice like rhubarb and custard.
Yeah.
A little bit before our time, but it's still a reference that
was
really
it,
endured. Yeah, I think it was. But it was something that endured, I think, old rhubarb and custard.
Made shockwaves in the cultural community, though.
What? It was just a
Yeah, it was
cat.
1974.
Was it a dog or a
Way
cat
Way before
or something?
Our time.
Was it a dog or a cat or something? Like, what was rhubarb was a dog and custard was a cat, I think, and they just hung out.
Yeah, so rhubarb is a green dog.
Yeah.
And custard, it was a pink cat.
Okay.
And yeah. According to the Wikipedia page, rhubarb was always involved in some kind of misadventure, which he approached with enthusiasm, whereas custard was cynical and set out to sabotage rhubarb's fun.
Right, okay.
So is that kind of similar to the, well, not really, but it's a little bit of a crossover between Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner there?
I guess so. I think some cartoons are quite fucking Route 1, aren't they, really?
It's basic stuff.
Yeah.
It needs to be relatable.
Yeah.
And the great Richard Pryor, sadly no longer with us, provided the voices, didn't he? Or did he do the voiceover? Richard Pryor, I think, did the narration?
Yeah. There was a really good TV show with Richard Pryor.
Right.
He did The Good Life or something, didn't he?
Yes, correct,
yeah. When he was, and it was about a senile old man. He played a senile old man who was just losing it. But he was just it was the sweetest TV show. And I seem to remember him blowing up the toilet because he put the wrong bleach in. He put too much bleach in, or he mixed the bleach or something like that. And it was really, really sweet. And I'd never really sort of, and it didn't really sort of make any sort of impact. I love those kind of like lost, forgotten sitcoms.
Yeah.
You
feel like there's loads of them.
You feel like you're the only person who actually watched them.
There's a few that I really liked that no one really liked. Chickens, I thought was really funny, which is with
that was ITV, wasn't it? That was
no, like, Chickens was Sky One.
Sky One.
Yeah,
it felt ITV then.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Saxondale, criminally overlooked.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah,
Saxondale's the root of all the modern Partridge stuff. You can see him checking out, trying out stuff that would later become the modern iteration of Alan Partridge.
Yeah, Steve fair.
Saxondale, brilliant to watch. So rewatchable. So good luck to Richard Pryor. God rest him.
Mm.
But I should also point out that he was also in the 2012 Danny Dyer vehicle, Run for Your Wife.
Run for Your Wife with Neil Morrissey.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah. Good.
Famous for grossing just £602.
Sex Life of the Potato Men. Remember those? Yeah. All those kind of films that were just like, would come out.
Do you know, Sex Lives of the Potato Men is a weird one because...
It's got Corden in it, isn't it? Corden and Simon Pegg. No.
Well,
it's got Gareth from The Office.
I've not seen it. You're right. And I'm going to come on to that point. I haven't seen it. And I should probably watch it, although it's quite difficult to find on streaming services. The cast is absolutely incredible.
Mm.
How can it be so bad, right? Johnny Vegas is capable. Can we agree with that?
Oh, Johnny Vegas,
yeah.
Right, yes.
Johnny
okay.
Vegas. Yeah,
yeah.
Mackenzie Crook is amazing, like multiple BAFTA winner.
Mm.
Mark Gatiss is in it,
yeah,
who created Sherlock that stuff. Julia Davis is also in it, who is a brilliant comedy actor. Adrian Charles is weirdly in it, I don't know why.
Because there's a race and he'll be the commentator or something, won't he?
He plays, Adrian Charles apparently plays a towel man.
A towel man.
I don't know what that means. So anyway, critics apparently disliked the film intensely, and it's one of the only films to have a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I have no idea why. What are we talking about? Rhubarb and custard.
Rhubarb.
Way before our time, but still managed to puncture the cultural zeitgeist.
Well, it's a lovely guitar sound. I saw this... you know, like you have like MIDI guitars.
Yeah.
So like, you know, they convert analog picking and notes to digital information. Mm. But there was these mad fucking ones in the, I think, 60s, the late 60s that came out. Right. Like, astonishingly early. These guitars that would just add a lot, they look so heavy, so heavy.
Yeah.
Because they had so much tech in there. And they were like proper organs, but it was played with, it played like a normal kind of MIDI keyboard guitar thing. But instead of, when you would press on the strings, it would complete a circuit to each individual fret. And that would play like a kind of an organ kind of sound, effectively.
Yeah.
But it was incredibly analog and incredibly
old
school.
What's the point
of
it? You could just play a piano or keyboard.
Well, what's the point of any MIDI guitar? Nobody plays them because they sound terrible.
It looks fucking sweet.
No, it's not keytar.
Oh, right.
It's a proper guitar
right. That
converts the journey of the sound begins when a plectrum is picked against a string and the finger is pressed against
the... It's just
the
guitar there.
It is just a guitar, but
well,
it
listens... I don't understand what you're talking about.
So say you play an A on the E string, right? Yeah. The low E. It says, what's that then? The computer in the guitar nowadays with the MIDI guitar goes, what's that then? Oh, I know what that is. It's an A played on the E. It's an A. It's an A, right?
Why is the computer talking?
I know
about
what that's going to say. It's a supercomputer. Oh, I know what that is. I'm going to tell the computer that an A has just been played.
Yeah.
And then the computer can either internally or externally can basically, you've got that as information and basically play a dog going woof, but in, so you go woof, 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 woof,
yeah,
woof,
yeah.
Woof.
Like when you used to get like your weird settings on your keyboard.
Exactly,
keyboard,
yeah. So it turns analog data into...
A wingdings into, of a set of sounds.
Into digital data. Yeah. And you can do all kinds of stuff. You could have drum beats.
So they could have done that back in the 60s, but it would be completely analog.
Well, they couldn't. Well,
how would they be able to do that?
Well, so back then it was all analog. It never went digital. It wasn't a MIDI output. It was just an amazing organ sound that basically was an electronic organ, like a rudimentary electronic organ. But instead of converting to digital data and then producing the audio, it was a completely analog system. But it was an organ, and they're like $4,000, and I love it. I love
it. Pick it up. Was it too heavy?
It seems like there's just so many dials and stuff on it.
If you know what Pete's talking about, can you email hello at lukeandpeach.com and explain it to me, please? Before we move on, can we also talk a little bit about something we mentioned last week?
Right.
These weird TV radio cassette players you've been buying.
Okay, yeah.
From
yeah.
Shoebury Ness.
Shoebury Ness.
Jumping in the car, popping on down to Shoebury Ness, paying what, a oneer for this old piece of 70s tech?
What's a oneer?
100 quid.
No.
How much?
20 quid for two.
Oh, that's good. For two?
So, yeah. Good.
Tenner each.
Yeah.
10% of the price, I thought. And you got one of them working.
I did get one of them working. I managed to figure out an HDMI to RF kind of input sort of thing.
That's crazy.
So now I can get...
I spoke to LC about these and I showed him the video and he'd never seen one before.
Right.
He'd never even heard
of like
one
TV, a TV radio thing before. There was like a little TV connect inside a radio cassette.
Because they're built to be portable. They've got handles on them.
Yeah.
So if they're built to be portable, what was the idea behind them? You just put them on a table and, or put them wherever you want, plug them in and you're
plug
away.
Plug them in, you watch. I could imagine a builder on a site watching one. watching the World
not.
Cup.
It's supposed to be working. What have you actually watched through it at the moment?
I watched one of those sad old C words on Twitter, drinking.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, you actually managed
guys.
To run that through.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
From my computer, yeah.
That's really cool.
It was a real, I felt like John Logie Baird.
So basically, let me just sum this up. You've gone online, you found them, you got in the car, you drove to Shoebury Ness, you paid 20 quid, you lumped them in the car, drove all the way back, spent a few hours sorting them out.
Dicking about.
And then you were able to watch something that you could have just watched on your phone in like 5 seconds.
We do batteries.
It's the platform you're
it's
interested
the platform.
In.
I think it's very interesting to see. Well, actually, there's a bit of a vogue at the moment. It's been very tech heavy already, but like, there's a vogue at the moment that retro video game enthusiasts will not play video games on flat screens anymore. They insist on playing them on big, fat CRTs. So people are grabbing old stock of these massive behemoth fucking CRTs. They're massive fucking things and they're ridiculously heavy. They take three men to lift them, three people to lift them. They take they're so massive, these things, but people swear by them because video games, if you're into retro video games, these games were created for cathode ray tubes. They were created for old big,
but what's the difference?
3D big fat tellies. Well, if you watch something on a plasma screen or an LCD screen, it just looks a bit too precise or a bit washed out or a bit. These games were designed for the very quick refresh rates of a very quick response rate of a CRT and all telly basically, and so they just look better. The gradients look better. They look less precise.
Is it more playable?
Yes, it is. Yeah, the response rate is ridiculous. And if you're a speedrunner or like a speed, like, you know, person who relies on that, you can't pixel count as well because the pixels are a bit smeary. But the response is so much better on those old school tellies because they didn't do so much processing to get the television on, on the telly.
By some measures, then, the new TVs are actually worse.
For certain things, but there's a real vogue for finding these old fucking big tellies.
How many of them are left?
Very few, and obviously the skills of fixing televisions, which, you know, will be lost at some point because, you know, they're quite difficult and fucking dangerous as well. Very, very high voltage. Yeah, it's not great for the, and also it's not great for the environment because they take 10 times as much energy to get them running.
But I mean, you'd have to run that against the balance of just disposable tech. People just chuck a shit away.
I guess so, yeah, I suppose.
So maybe it would balance it out.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. And this is for people who want to play video games as quickly as possible.
Well, like retro enthusiasts and stuff, yeah.
Are you talking about yourself here?
I don't play any video games, it's annoying. I sort of read about more video games than I play.
Come and play some PUBG with me. We need someone else in our squad, mate. Yeah. Let's talk about the Stack Sports Day.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah.
We were on opposing teams, weren't we? They kept us apart. The two big swingers. the two MVPs.
Yeah.
How did you feel it went for you? Happy?
Not great, to be honest.
Why? Won the rounders.
Terrible at football. We won the rounders, but I didn't hit a single ball or catch a single ball. I think I was as atrocious as it possibly could, that it could be. I was the worst.
Do you have a feeling like, say, you know, if say your team won a big tournament, but you didn't play a single minute. I feel a little bit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I let everyone down.
You stepped up to the plate in rounders. You didn't connect bat on ball.
No, not
who
once.
Who was pitching?
I think everyone. Oh, I think yeah. you were.
Who
think,
was pitching?
I think it was you, Luke. Yeah, it was you, didn't hit any of my balls either. And John was complaining. The third of the triforce stack.
You were not rounders pitching in the spirit of the event. You were pitching really low and really fast.
I was pitching the right height and really fast because I didn't want you to hit. I didn't want you people to hit it.
I got a home run, but we still lost. But then we won the five-a-side football, so I was happy with that.
You certainly did, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think?
We were down a player, to be fair, because Temi bust a ankle.
I was kind of a little bit annoyed that you weren't annoyed with me for being too competitive. Because normally you get really annoyed with me for that.
I think we both were two boys with bad knees.
Yeah,
we weren't enjoying ourselves at all.
Yeah.
So I think we both understood our limitations.
No, but you're making out that I've chilled out a little bit.
I think you've chilled out a little bit.
Fucking that annoys the shit out of me. That
you've lost your fire, mate.
Annoys the shit out of me to hear you say that, Dawson. It's absolutely outrageous. But it was really a day for the young ones, wasn't it?
It was for the young uns.
They were like, come on, Grandad, you come down and absolutely pick up the bill in the pub after. But it ain't about you.
We did all right at the darts. We played a bit of darts as well.
Oh, last time we told our Luke and Pete Show family that we came last in the darts last time. I actually came fourth this time.
Well, there you go. Well done.
Which I'm very happy with. Top half.
I upset my darts partner by throwing my darts from the other side of the room.
Yeah, you always have to do something different. You always have to try and make it so that the rules don't apply to you.
Yeah, but if it happens, fuck me, it's going to be good.
Why are you covered in paint today, by the way?
Not your business.
You're covered in white paint.
Stay away from my shed. I was my picket fence, the fourth bridge. I've built.
I think regular listeners to this show will feel like you've been painting that fence for quite a long time now.
Because every time I went, because I did one court and then it bloody rained all bloody week. So then I had to cut up a load of wood. I had to find the wood to replace the slats that are broken, and I had to make it look exactly the same as the other slats. I had to paint them up. I've done an all right job. I tell you what other particular thing I flirted with over the weekend. Bit of cement. Whoa. I mixed cement for the first time, Luke.
Okay. Talk us through the process.
Oh, that hardens very quickly, doesn't it? On a warm day.
So what did you do?
I had like 2 seconds and it was hard. I was like, oh, fuck! I've fucked another So basically, I had this bucket I was mixing it in and it would just harden. And I go, oh, fuck! I fucked it again.
How do you stop cement hardening?
You keep it mixed. I mean, that's what cement mixers are for, aren't they? You just keep it. The cement just keeps mixing it; never solidifies. You got to keep that shit moving, otherwise that cement ain't fucking going anywhere. So it was amazing. I was like, I've never dicked around with cement before. It was really fun.
What were you doing it for?
I was fixing a paving slab.
You killed a man.
I've done a Beth Jordash.
Yeah.
The paving outside the back was, it was buggered. So it kept lifting up. Because the fucking ants have been at it. Bloody ants have been at it, Luke.
That's some ants.
I've been digging around in there, I swear. So that went up. So I glued that down with cement, and also I fixed a fence post to the floor. And it just all went, it all went as expected. But I'm just very surprised how quick and how burning. I forget, it's quite strong alkali, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not good for you.
Burn your hand, no. It was all over my hands.
So you've stepped up the DIY to cement now.
Cement boy.
Did you go to the hardware store and buy all the powder and all the stuff you need?
No, I literally just bought one of those ones for the boys who don't know what they're doing. That costs 10 times the amount of normal cement. Because you need sand and stuff. It's basically just a cement that's in a big bucket, and you mix. You've got these two bags, and you just sling.
A bigger boy would never use that, would they?
No, God no, they'd mix their own.
Yeah,
but God knows.
Maybe that's the next step for you. So fair enough. You've been painting a fence. Mm. Why is the paint still over you?
I tried rubbing it off with white spirit, whatever. I did a little burpee there.
When did you?
Whenever paint? I say white spirit, the white spirit comes out of you.
So it's those red fucking pink pickled onions. When did you actually paint the fence?
I did a bit of touching up. So to speak, yesterday. Yeah.
So you just thought to yourself, "Oh fuck it, I'll just go out covered in paint."
I can't. What do you want me to do?
Just get in the shower.
I tried. It didn't come off.
Stop flexing your bicep. It doesn't look cool.
I'm trying to break the paint
break
off.
The paint off your bicep by flexing.
I had a film with a fin earlier, and he didn't have an end for the video. I went, "I got an end for your video. I'm clearly covered in paint." I'll explain why I'm covered in paint.
Do you know how much of a grafter Finn is, by the way?
Yeah, he is. 3 a.m. was
Sunday
it?
Night, he worked till 3 a.m. because of the lionesses. Yeah. And he was back in the office at 8 on Monday morning.
Yeah. Well, he got me in early, and he didn't have stuff ready. And I was like, "You got stuff ready?" But I didn't realise he'd finished at 3. Yeah. I mean, Finn, that is ridiculous, mate. I'm so sorry.
I had a little pop at him first thing as well. and then he kind of mumbled something, and I was like, "Oh, what time did you finish up last night?"
3.
Oh, sorry, mate.
I didn't realise Finn's a bit of me.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a silly boy, and it's very satisfying. He's just...
You're quite hapless.
You tell him off for being late for stuff.
I don't tell him off for being late for stuff. I tell him off for being... He's not here to defend himself, so we shouldn't spend too much time on Finn. Yeah. But he isn't... Let me just put this away. He's a brilliant, brilliant person.
He's the best.
But he's not the most organised of people.
Right. And you tell him off last week before the sports center, I was like... Oh, my boy. I was like, yes, my boy.
Listen, Prin, you keep this up. We'll get him in that early grave. No, because there's a running trope where he's got a catchphrase, which is, yeah, you go ahead, I'll catch you up. He's never quite finished. Anyway, let's take a break. Right. When we come back, we're going to do an email about grave robbery, and it's nothing to do with Finn.
I'll be right with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym... For, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, we're back with the Luke and Pete Show, and it's about this time on the old Luke and Pete Show. We do eat a couple of emails here and there.
When can we bother? We don't always do it. And I think a lot of the charm, a lot of the quote unquote charm about this show, is that people listening generally just don't know what's going to happen and where we're going to do stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll say an email, we'll think of something else, and we won't ever go back to it. And then you get stick online for it, and it's like, just enjoy it, guys.
That's true.
Why does everything have to be so regulated? Why does everything have to be so traditional?
Chill out, dude.
You're talking to two people who were told they'd never have a career in broadcasting because they weren't good enough
when they were broadcasting.
Yeah, this is after we're actually doing it. So anyway, do you want to read the email, or do I want
you to? You get it out, yeah. I'll react.
Did you read out the email address or not bother?
Yeah, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. You can also get in touch at Luke and Pete Show on the Twitter.
Yeah.
And okay. Instagram.
Yeah. So this is about grave robbery. And it's from Chris, who says, hello, Luke and Pete. Hello, the Luke and the Pete. Your recent email from a police officer got me thinking about the weirdest case I've been involved with.
Mm.
Whenever a police officer emails in, we always get a load of follow-ups. People are interested in that.
That's true, yeah.
Do you remember the bread toilet thing, for example?
Oh, yeah. Wiping the toilet with the bread.
Yeah. So Chris says, I'm a detective working for the Victoria Police in Melbourne, Australia. Or as they call it over there, Straya. And I've been on the force for a little over a decade. The standard of crimes we investigate are things like burglaries, robberies and assaults. Earlier this year, however, we had a series of grave robberies from the local cemetery in which the offender broke into a number of crypts, forced open the coffin.
Crept in the crypts.
And stole human heads.
Oh, we don't like that.
For what purpose, I have no idea. Even the most experienced officers on the force had never heard of such a crime being committed in living memory.
Mm.
The case is still before the court, so I can't go into too much detail beyond what's already been released to the media. But thankfully, we were able to solve the case and recover their heads. I'd love to know what other weird and wonderful crimes your listeners have been involved in. Also, I found a pair of full wind batteries in my baby's portable white noisemaker. Doubt they're a new player, but I don't recall hearing about them before. Well, you're not going to hear about that today, Chris, because we did it on a Thursday. So if you want to re-mail in, you're welcome to. Otherwise, we will not be checking them. Pete, what do you think inspires someone to go into a crypt and go after those sweet heads?
Yeah, you've got to really want a head, haven't you? You've got to really want them heads. It reminds me of, what was that? Was it a journalist or something who died in the 80s and he had his legs stolen? And they got replaced with pipes. Do you remember?
No, because I don't remember, because that never happened.
It did. They got replaced by pipes.
Do you remember the journalist in the 80s who died, got his leg stolen, and they replaced them with pipes?
It
doesn't even make any fucking sense.
It does make sense.
There's no point to the story.
It does make sense. Oh, nuts. I can't remember the bloody... never mind.
So what I'd be interested to know, to the extent that I am actually interested in this story, is that... if you're going into a crypt...
Alistair Cook.
Right. Captain of England cricket team.
No. He's a British-American writer.
Right.
And he did Letters from America.
I want to hear the story because almost certainly the actual story is going to be ever so slightly different and going to make sense
all right.
to what you remembered.
Yeah.
Go on.
In 2005, the New York Daily News reported that the...
First of all, in the 80s, you said.
Well, that was when it was reported. When did he die? 2004. All right. He died at the age of 95. That's decent.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, he died, yeah, decent, good. The New York Daily News reported that the bones of Cook and many other people, I mean, this guy's super famous.
Right.
Many other people have been surgically removed before cremation by employees of Biomedical Tissue Services of Fort Lee, New Jersey, a tissue recovery firm. The thieves sold the bones for use as medical grade bone grafts.
Hmm.
And... I mean, it's a high risk play because the cancer from which Cook Cook actually died from had spread through his bones. So, like, I there's not worth shit.
Just my luck.
But they got replaced. They got replaced with pipes.
That is. I can only apologise, Peter. You've remembered a story properly, and it's actually proven to have happened. You were 25 years out.
Modern day grave robbery.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's basically how a lot of surgical developments and improvements were made, isn't it?
Well, back people, in the day, yeah. People I mean, actually, back in the day, though. I mean, well, like 1800s and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, 1800s.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still part of, people have donated their body for science.
Yeah.
Or basically robbed graves and given them away.
Well, my mum and dad were, they said they were down on the list for to be given to, like, Newcastle University. And then they took themselves off because it would be too much of a pain for me and my sister. I was like, they're just constantly they're worried about how much stuff is in the loft.
How is
when they die?
How,
it's like, well, it's like, to be honest, I'm not, mum, I'm not, you're not going to be in the back of the Fiat. Someone will come and pick you up from the place to where they're supposed to be picked up from.
Well, just a normal conversation with your mum, isn't it? Just a normal Donaldson family conversation. So you had a row because your mum wanted to donate her body to medical science.
Yeah.
And you said, I'm happy with that. It's no problem. And she said, no, it'd probably be a hassle for you.
Yeah.
And what did you do then? Sit down and have your dinner? Did you, what?
Just on me bone.
Is that a conversation that normal families have?
Well, it's just, it would have been a nice thing for them to do, but they just, like, oh, it's too much fucking admin. I was like, you'll be dead. Yeah. Don't worry about it. You know what? I'll probably need something to distract myself.
Would that
they
be
are in, demented.
What, you're
going
to drive your dead mother?
I think they need to go home. I think we need to have a conversation. I think they need to go. I think they need to go because they just rub themselves up the wrong way. They just spend their days just rubbing themselves up the wrong way.
So you responded by saying, presumably because you'll be grief stricken because your mother's passed away.
Yeah.
It'd be better to have something to do, but which you mean stick your mum in the back of the Fiat 500 and drive her to Newcastle
Who
University.
Who knows if Wordle's still going to be
it
there.
It doesn't work like that. You can't just walk into the reception with a dead person and go, they wanted to be here.
That's my point. I'm not going to be doing the admin, are they? I'll just sign a form, someone will come around the clipboard and they'll have them in the van. They'll have them in the refrigerated van.
And you'll go, right, all I've got to do now is
sort
out
the
attic.
I just got...
Sort out the
right,
attic.
Right, that's done.
But what would you do for the service?
What?
What would you do about the service?
I go, oh, I've gone in the wrong order. She's already gone. Well, I don't know. What do you mean for the service?
Use some pipes.
Sing a song. Sing a song. I'll make my own papier-mâché mum.
I don't feel comfortable talking about this because I really like your mum.
Right.
She's really lovely.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've got the room which to comment on this because she's your mum.
Okay.
But I don't feel like I have
Look, you've got
the permission.
The floor is open for you to criticise my mum for some reason.
What's in her attic? What's in the
I
attic?
I don't know.
Because you know what my mum does as a tactic? Read the attic.
Right.
Because hers is exactly the same.
Mm.
And what happens is, when she knows I'm coming for the weekend,
she'll leave out
the
stuff.
The attic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's worse than that. She just put it in my car. She put it in the boot of the car.
Yeah.
So I won't know until I've got back. I'll just put this stuff in. By the way, it'll be done like this. Last time you came, you left a T-shirt here.
Mm.
Okay, so I've washed it for you, and I've put it in that bag. All right? I'll go and put it in the car for you. The bag is like one of those fucking hippo bags outside of your house when you're having the building work done, and it's full of shit. Absolutely full of stuff. And then if that doesn't work, she'll do the old, I'm probably just going to chuck all this away. Mum, don't do that because it might be some memories in there, you know, and I haven't got time to look at it now.
Mm.
It's in the attic. That's what the attic
copies
for.
Of a Razzle.
Yeah, could be. You never know. Could be. Anyway, Peter. Anyway, that's
Peter,
it.
Peter. Anyway,
let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Let's
all
just
right,
get
cool.
going because I don't really like the idea of you talking about your parents passing away and all that.
I don't like
stuff.
It either.
Yeah,
but it's something we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to have to deal with it at some point.
Me and you. We're going to have to deal with the bodies.
Hey, which of us do you think will die first?
It's going to be me, innit?
Why?
Asthma.
You seen that?
What? That's fine though, isn't it?
Putting pressure on that, isn't it?
Putting pressure on that.
Why do you think I'm older than you as well?
That's true, yeah.
Why don't we do a Twitter poll?
We're both from very shitty areas.
It's true.
So that, you know, life expectancy and all that.
Yeah. You have more ailments than me though.
I do. I have more things to up. Like, I think.
Yours death by a thousand cuts.
I was sort of doing it. I can't sing certain notes. I think we were talking about this before.
Yeah.
Everybody by Backstreet Boys.
Oh, the rock your body.
Yeah, there's a certain note that I can never hit.
Did you used to be able to hit it?
Yeah.
And so you've got a bit of rock plant going on.
I've got a polyp. It's clearly I've got a polyp.
No, it's just because your vocal cords change as you get older.
No. I can do the note above. I can do the note below. It's a polyp. So
well, show us this then.
I can't.
Well, you can't
remember
say
the notes.
That. You can't tell I'm not sure.
It's that little. And I used to,
you've got emphysema. What are you doing?
There's definitely something wrong with vocal cords. I make my money by using my voice a lot of the time, so I should really look into it. And Sarah's like, you should look into it. I had a polyp, I got treated for it, it was fixed. All good, lovely stuff. That sounds like a polyp. I was like, Sarah, I've got a very long list.
Yes.
And that's very much in the, that would be nice, wouldn't it, column.
Sorry, you just said you make your money from your voice a lot of the time. Right. How else are you making money? There's nothing else you do.
I was going to do a very erotic little...
Building fences.
DIY, yeah. Reselling IPTV on the internet. Yeah. No, I don't know.
You make all your money from that beautiful voice.
Yeah, I know.
That beautiful northeastern lilt. Mm. It's not quite Newcastle, is it?
I wish it was just that, though, wasn't it?
Just a Geordie.
Meetings and stuff.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you had a proper Geordie accent,
right,
I think you'd make more money. I think you'd have made more money for voiceovers because of the Big Brother thing.
He's from Billingham.
Yeah, but you said also with him, you said no one actually
puts it,
talks
like that. He puts a silly voice on.
But yeah. So do you when you're doing your voiceovers.
No, I don't. I just express myself. I don't sort of up my accent, do I? I just sort of go, hello, here's the information. I'm not embarrassed by me giving you that information, because a lot of people, when they do voiceovers, they mumble through because they're a bit scared to emote.
Okay, say in your normal voice,
uh-huh.
Hello, here's some information.
Hello, here's some information.
Now do it as your voiceover voice.
Hello, here's some information.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not upping my accent, am I?
I don't think people listening know there's so much difference between voiceover stuff and normal stuff.
Yeah, because some people are just embarrassed at selling information, and I don't think you should be. We're literally in the information business. We're literally in the information business.
Fucking Tony Robbins.
I'm Alastair Cook.
We legs a pipe. Right, let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday for more of this nonsense. If you've got any interesting information you want to share with us, it's hello at lukeandpeacher.com. If you've got a strong opinion, negative or positive, about anything we've talked about today, or indeed any other day, hello at lukeandpeacher.com as well. We are at Luke and Peacher on the social media, and we'll look forward to seeing you over there too. Have a lovely, 3 days between now and Thursday. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time. We're looking forward to that. Peter, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Peter.
It's goodbye from me too.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.